It's time for WHTC Money Matters with Carrie Cooley and Jack Godfrey from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group of Zeeland. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, members FINRA and SIPC. Now that we got the legal stuff out of the way, here are the guys cooler than the paid-off mortgage. Your hosts of WHTC Money Matters, Carrie Cooley and Jack Godfrey.
Hey, good morning, Holland Zealand. Jack, I like that entry.
Yeah, that's a good entry.
Yeah.
Cooler than a paid-off mortgage, but you know what? We both have mortgages. Yeah, so yeah, we're not that cool yet.
Not that cool yet, but we're getting there. We're working there.
Yeah, that's a nice thing to talk about.
Listeners, welcome to WHTC Money Matters, and we have a great show coming up today. Budget tips for retirees. You can call us at 395-1450, and interesting week in the market, right, Jack?
Well, every week's an interesting week in the market. You know, it's job numbers come out and they look fairly good for, unemployment numbers went down, less job claims than we think for. So unemployment's heading really towards 6%. I guess that's a good number. How we got there, nobody seems to know, but, you know, you know, you look at Janet Yellen, she comes out and says, well, you know, the job numbers look pretty good, but don't count on them.
Yeah, that was an interesting comment.
Well, but, you know, why would she say that, first of all? Why would she say that? Because I still think that, you know, if you really look at it, you know, maybe Southwest Michigan is the aberration, but, you know, I still say we can't find people to work in this area. We just cannot find people to work.
I agree, because I hear that day in, day out, finding good qualified people that are willing to work.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of my customers' son who goes to college in building and trades, look for a summer job, you know, and the kid's qualified. I mean, let's talk about that. You know, he's 20. His dad's in construction. He's in construction. You know, I convinced him to go to get a 4-year degree because that's what he needs to do. And he does it. But he said, I walked in and, 15-minute interview and got hired on the spot and went to work that afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, doing work, construction work, and he wants a variety of jobs, you know, and now he's fixing doors, you know, big construction doors, big commercial doors, where he's fixing the hinges, fixing the door latches. And we were talking big doors. We're not talking house doors. But, you know, something that he didn't know how to do.
Yeah.
You know, so he's done finishing work, and he's done large construction, roofs. But, you know, to be a good quality construction guy, you got to do it all.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of times when you get hired, you know, you're out, get a job, you only do one thing.
Yeah. And then you don't get well-rounded,
no,
too.
No, you don't.
You know, talking about jobs, you know, we're talking about my son Christian this past week.
He 15.
You know, and he's went out and he got himself a job.
That's awesome right there.
And, you know, he filled out the application, did all this right stuff, and, you know, I think it's great that he's going to work for somebody else, get experience under somebody else.
No, that's really cool. I mean, working, and you said he's working for a lumber company or a hardware store. I mean, that's a great place to work. I mean, retirees want to work in lumber stores.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they do work in lumber stores.
Yeah.
Home Depot.
Well, I mean, just
Lowe's.
What a great experience. Meeting people, talking to people, and learning how to run the cash register. You know, what's a nut, what's a bolt. You know, learning all different things. I think it's good. And, you know, and, you know, talking about our builder, who's doing some finishing work, he even said, he goes, Carrie, it's hard to find good people that are skilled in the trades as far as building right now.
Well, I mean, you know, even with that big layoff in Hudsonville, I don't know if you heard about that or not. Of course, that was like probably a month ago now, and there's some, and there's still structure business, a couple owners or a couple workers there that work there, high-level workers, start, you know, continue this steel structure business and have hired a lot of people. But, you know, when they went bankrupt there in Hudsonville, they just quit every job. It just stopped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know,
everybody's done.
Yeah. I mean, where, you know, it's like, what about all the people that they owed money to? I guess they're bankrupt, of course, but, you know, all the people that were building big facilities, you know, now they got to find somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just, you know, that's something else. But, you know, the unemployment numbers look good.
Market numbers, you know, you look
still at 17,000, even after a little down day yesterday. So those are big numbers. And, you know, I continue to you know, it's like a broken record with me. It's, you know, even on the news, you know, they talk about 17,000. It's like, who cares? It's still fair value. It's still a fair value. And there's still a long ways to go in this market. And it's, you know, the only thing we have to fear again is it's the government. Mm-hmm. What are they going to say? What are they going to do that's going to spike concerns? What are they going to say in terms of unemployment numbers? Even though the unemployment numbers are good, they're still not saying they're good. Well, 6%, I think, is still pretty good.
It is. And I think the other thing more and more people are realizing, even the news media has said this, you know, there's a lot of people that have stopped looking for work, so they don't count in the unemployment numbers. You know, there's people that are underemployed and people that have stopped working that don't count anymore. So, you know, it's a moving target. It's not 100% accurate number.
Yeah, we had somebody in our office looking for a home in Zealand. Great place to live. You know, great place to raise kids. They went to 5 houses that were still on the market, and every house had multiple bidders. Every house they went to look at, I'm sorry, but we have 3 people already got bids in.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow, raise your prices. I mean, you know, it's unbelievable. It's a seller's market now.
It is. And the average home in Zealand is 2 weeks or less, and it's sold.
I'm thinking 2 days or less. I mean, no, I think it's days. I mean, it's really days. I mean, if it hits
We can take 2 weeks, make it 14 days.
Well, yeah, that's right, yeah. But it's unbelievable. You know, we talked to somebody from Chicago that some people had called on us there on Thursday, and he bought his house, of course, in 2008, really high, and did live by the United Center there, and never thought he was going to sell his house for anything above what he paid for it, and he said he made a hefty profit.
Well, and part of the reason was Google came in and bought a large...
Buying everything out.
Yeah, and so...
Created a train stop, a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So that helped elevate the price. So,
and, you know, just looking down the road here, Courtyard's building in downtown Holland. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
I think
that's 120 rooms, I believe, and... What a nice addition to downtown Holland.
You know, despite the news, despite what you hear, things are going pretty good.
Well, yeah. We're thinking right in Zealand, you know, they opened that splash pad.
Yeah.
And every day, it's busy.
A lot of kids.
You go by there
at
noon, it's like 35 kids and moms and dads.
It's just
an awesome thing there in Zealand. So, Jack, are you going to take us up on that bet, run through the splash pad?
Yeah, that's right. Hey, we're going to talk about budget tips for retirees later on. So, you know, if you're heading towards a retirement or you are retired, you need to belly up to the table and listen. So, you know, by the numbers, you know, there's if you take a look at year-to-date, just look at year-to-date of the big number. Year-to-date with the S&P is 8.89.
Mm-hmm.
Is that always a good number to take a look at? Not really, because it doesn't tell you the whole market, but it tells you 500 of the largest stocks. But
well, and you look at, you know, different sectors, large for the, you know, the 1 year, mid and small, all showing positive numbers for the 1 year numbers.
Yeah, all show positive. If you take a look at year to date, though, however, small cap across the board, small cap value, small cap growth, flat for the year or a little bit down. So maybe those are buying opportunities. If you look at other sectors, year to date, large foreign up, you know, both emerging markets and, emerging markets up 10.6. So, you know, we've been trying to make sure people are in emerging markets this year. So emerging markets is actually above emerging markets, China, Russia, India, et cetera. When we're talking about emerging markets, we're not talking about large foreign. So that means when you buy a foreign mutual fund or an exchange-traded fund, we're not talking about buying Coke, Pepsi, Procter & Gamble. We're talking about actually companies in a foreign country.
Yeah, and smaller, and countries that are yet to get around to what we call a developed country. So you have, Jack, you mentioned Brazil, Russia, India, China.
And Africa is coming on really big.
Yeah.
Africa is coming on really big.
Especially China is buying a lot of land over there for farm production.
Yeah. You know, if you look at the one-year numbers for emerging markets, 20%. That's a big number.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big number. So, you know, I'm happy with 8. I mean, these are big numbers. You know, we feel the market's not overvalued. But if you don't have something in emerging markets, you should, based on your portfolio risk. You're not telling you everybody needs to buy it, but you need to take a look at that. Also, real estate, you know, real estate is really up this year. It's been up last year and a half. That's something that you might want to get a small portion of your portfolio in, is a REIT, real estate. And we always make sure people have that.
Well, and another area, when you break it down by sectors, healthcare is leading the charge over this past year, up over 14%. And, you know, as the population ages and majority of people are above 50, we all need more health care. So that area is just going to continue to grow.
Obamacare.
Yeah. Yep. And
Obamacare.
I think a concern of many analysts and people on the market is the fixed income area. Just if interest rates move up, how is that going to affect this area? But there are still some areas that have been really good year to date, and that's been the high yield, lower quality bonds have still returned. You know, you look at long-term low, they're over 14% year-to-date.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. Incredible. And, you know, we have a lot of people in that market. Hey, we're going to take a break right now. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. We'll come back. We'll do by the numbers some more. We'll take your questions, 395-1450. See you on the other side.
Hey, welcome back, listeners. Thanks for staying tuned, and we are on the other side.
Yes, we are. So, hey, by the numbers, we got great numbers here. 70%, so we're talking retiree stuff here today. 70% of the retirees surveyed in 2007, 7 years ago, were somewhat confident that they would have a comfortable retirement. 2014, 67% feel they'd have a comfortable retirement.
What was the first percentage?
70%. In 2007, said that they felt somewhat confident that they would have a good retirement. 67% today, still not enough.
Hmm.
So it's lowered down.
That's interesting.
Down. Well, it really is lowered down, and
this one probably goes with it here. Work less, work longer. This, maybe some people recognize this name, Carlos Slim of Mexico, second wealthiest person in the world, worth $72 billion. That's a B, billion. And he made his money in the mobile phone business. And he has proposed, instead of the traditional five-day-a-week work schedule until age 65, employees should work 3 days a week, 11 hours a day, through age 70.
Nothing wrong with that.
No?
That'd be... That's probably going to be my work schedule. Yeah. Okay. Here's a good one. 613,650 Americans live abroad and have their Social Security check sent there. That's a, I wouldn't know that's a big number, a small number, but with 10,000 people retiring a day, turning 65, I guess I don't think that's a high number.
No.
But,
no.
You know, some people live abroad. They like it. You know, Costa Rica, we talked about before the break here.
Mexico, Costa Rica, yeah. Some of the, you know, Latin American, yeah. Fairly inexpensive to live down there. So you do have a lot of what we call expatriates that live abroad.
Yeah.
But it's not only there. There's a lot of people that live over in Europe.
Yeah.
Hey, S&P 500 has fallen at least 5% in a single trading day 24 times. Since 1950, and most recently, it happened on 8/8 of 2011. So we haven't had a 5% drop really since 8/8 of 2011.
Yeah. Here's a good one. Of 1,000 American workers surveyed that were around 35 years of age, 41% of them. So we're talking about people around 35. 41% of these people surveyed, 1,000 of them, thought they were going to, in when their parents get older, be required to financially support their parents. So it goes right along with those people that it's only 67% think they're going to have a good retirement. Well, that goes right along with 41% of these people think they're going to support their parents.
Well, you know, interesting. Did we talk about this, Jack, this past week in the office, or maybe I talked about it with somebody, but people from India that come here to work for, what was it? The kids, you know, the parents are helping the kids get through school and pay for the school and everything else.
Yeah.
But they're not saving for retirement, but their retirement is investing in their kids because it's basically tradition that the kids are going to take care of the parents as the parents get older.
Yep.
Totally different mindset than in the U.S.
Here's a good, this is a mortgage note here. Until 1930, the average length of a mortgage was 5 to 10 years.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that is it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Now what the average is, 30?
30. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Monthly numbers. Hey, September, you know, most people know this, is the second worst performing month in the S&P 500. And if we look at October, November, and December.
They're good.
They're good numbers. October comes in number 5. November, number 3, December, number 1 is the best performing month.
Yeah. No, that's really good. Okay, here's a good one. It's the last one I got. Babe Ruth never struck out more than 100 times in a season. The great Babe. Isn't that amazing?
But doesn't he have the most strikeouts in a career, though?
Well, because he got a lot of at-bats.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that a good number, though? I mean, that's a great number.
Yeah.
Chris Carter of the Astros last year struck out 212 times. Big numbers.
People changing jobs. You know, there's a lot of hirees out there, 4.8 million hirees nationwide during the month of June. And 94% of those were in the private sector. Only 6% were in the public or government sector.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Hey, we have questions coming up right now. Questions. You can just call us right now, 395, with your question if you would like to do that. We have people that call us every week in our office, ask us lots of questions. You can call our office at 931-1223, and you can just press 0 and get a hold of anybody, and they'll find us and we'll answer your question live. Or you can call us today, 395-1450.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk to Claire. Claire's running the board today.
Here's the first question. Social Security question that we always like to take for the week is, what counts as wages or earnings for Social Security?
Earned income. Next question.
Okay.
No, earned income is, you know, earned income is not from dividends, not from interest. Earned income is from wages. I mean, when you think about wages, that could be, you know, somebody's paying you a wage, including bonuses, including commissions, including severance pay. Those are all included. So when I talked about investment income not included, pensions not included, capital gains not included,
inheritance, not
considered earned income. So when you're looking at your Social Security, what counts for Social Security, those are not counted. So we could be talking about two things. One, getting to your 35 years, your highest 35 years to apply for Social Security. Or we can talk about earned income as like, are you trying to get to that 14,000 number that if you make over that number before full retirement, you got to pay some of that back, which would be 50 cents on a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be Social Security.
You know, and that seems like a bad thing, but there's also a flip side to that, too. There may be a good thing. I've mentioned this before, too, because if you're continuing to earning and you're collecting Social Security, you're still gaining credits, and you may knock off some of the lower-paying years and actually increase your Social Security.
I have so many retirees that get a raise from Social Security every year, even though they're taking Social Security. They get a big raise because they're knocking off numbers.
Because they're still working.
They're still working. I mean, it's like, how can we get this? They go, because look at your Social Security statement. You knocked off this number here. I mean, you didn't make these kind of numbers 35 years ago, which is huge.
No, yeah, yeah. Yep. Another question here comes in from Ray. Ray writes in, I received an academic scholarship. Is this taxable?
No. Next question.
Well, these are easy questions, Jack.
No. I mean, it's so, you know, you got to be going to school, first of all. You just can't spend it. You got to be going to school. You know, you got to use it for those things for school, tuition, books, those kind of things. And that's about it.
Okay. Yeah, that's easy enough.
Yeah,
but that's
really
a good one because, you know, you wonder sometimes you get this money in, is this taxable or not taxable?
Well, let's just go to a sidebar there. So let's just talk about 529s. 529s. Put money in for a kid, uses it for college, and we get this question all the time. What do we have to use this 529 money for? Well, tuition, books, room, board, things required for your classes. That's it. Hard as it gets.
And the money comes out and it's tax-free.
Tax-free. It's a beautiful savings program.
And it doesn't matter the age. I mean, if you're, you know, 60 and taking college classes and have a 529 plan, that money comes out tax-free.
You bet. I mean, if you're not going to use it for your grandkids, your kids, just you can use it yourself.
Yeah.
Use it yourself.
All right. Here, other question. Can you withdraw funds from a pension before age 59 and a half and avoid the early withdrawal penalty. And the key word there, this is a pension, and can you draw before 59 and a half?
Yes.
And yes, you can. You know, there are exceptions to the early withdrawal penalty for qualified retirement pension plans. And here's the four exceptions, okay? They would be, let's see here. I'm trying to get these all straight in my head here. Made after death. So that's one.
Mm-hmm.
You can get money out because you're totally and permanently disabled. That's another reason. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times if you've reached age 55, you can draw on a pension.
Yep. That's the key number right there. So we're talking pensions as age 55.
And if they're made as a series of substantial equal payments annually for your life expectancy.
It's called a 72T. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have plenty of those people that do that. They retire or forced to retire early, and they want to avoid the 10% penalty. You need to take money out evenly, same amount. You get a one-time with increase if you'd like, for 5 years or 59 and a half, whichever is longer. And we do have a lot of people that do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to do. It's got to fit your budget. And you don't pay the 10% penalty under 59 and a half. And I've had some people that are in the early 50s.
Well, and the key question, what do you ask them, Jack? You know, if they're retiring early, we ask them, what are you going to do?
Well, that's the biggest thing. So if you look up the number one cause of death in the United States, it's older age suicide. 38%.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you get that number from?
That was actually in the USA Today while I was out in California. I read that.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, but that makes sense. You have a lot of those things that happen out
right
there. So great, great questions here for the week. And should we start talking about budget tips for retirees?
Yeah, let's go there.
Yeah. All right. Claire's saying take a break.
Yeah.
Okay, Claire, we're going to take a break, listeners. Stay tuned for we're going to be talking about some budget tips for retirees, but not only for retirees. These are budget tips that everybody can use.
Yep.
So stay tuned. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. Hey, welcome back, listeners. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey here. We're going to talk about budgeting for retirees. And, you know, the biggest thing for budgeting retirees is to get out of the gate hot. That means if you're going to retire, you better have it under control. And you either have so much money it doesn't really matter, or you're going to not have a good retirement, which is that 67% of those people who think they're not going to have a good retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing is pretty simple. Spend less than you make.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next topic.
Well, and you know, as you said, simple. It sounds simple. But this is a hard thing for
a lot
of people,
it's
not
really
just
hard
retirees, but for everybody. You know, budgeting is the whole process of, you know, tracking your expenses and your income, doing some planning of what you want to do, whether it be saving for a trip, new car, and controlling that inflow and outflow of that income.
And you also need to anticipate those things that could go wrong.
We like to call those what-ifs.
Well, the what-ifs, the biggest what-if is if you're married, the death of a spouse. The death of a spouse is, you know, devastating, first of all. But it could also mean some financial ruin if you're depending on the second spouse's income. So what that income would be typically it's Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're the lesser spouse meaning you're earning less, you got to get your other spouse's income. So that, you know, you got to get the higher income. So that's good. But the thing is, if you're depending on the lower spouse's Social Security, you're not going to get that.
Mm-hmm.
So out of the gate, that could be,
there's a pay cut.
There's a pay cut. If you're just barely scraping by, that's a big number.
You know, I always like, you know, it's hard to keep track of expenses. And some people just think, oh, I'm not going to do this. The easiest way to find out, get out your checkbook. Get out your credit card statement and find out where you're spending money. And that's the easiest way. Look at 3 months of them. And, Jack, I always like this, you know, the ATM withdrawals, going to the bank, getting cash withdrawals. Those are the ones that don't get tracked. Those are the ones that get lost. And people wonder, well, where did my money go? Well, if you go back to those cash withdrawals, which are a lot of times are a big mystery, you need to track those. And if you don't, you still need to record it as where we tell people to put it is entertainment.
That's right. If you go to the 24-hour teller, it's not in your budget. And that should be tracked as entertainment. And entertainment is usually one of the biggest things that get people into trouble. And it could be those people who are new retirees thinking, geez, things are looking good. But it's those what-ifs. You know, I say that, you get a car accident, the roof leaks. You know, it's a variety of things that we hear when people call in and say, geez, we need $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. The other thing is they're supporting extra kids.
Mm-hmm.
Not extra kids, their kids, their grandkids.
Or their kids come home from college and live with them.
Yeah, it's not a big expense. But when you have to support people to pay their rent, support their car payments, whatever it is, or you co-sign for people, but... you know, you have to take all this in consideration is, you know, the what ifs is when you take large chunks off of your retirement. And so if you look at a big picture, let's just say if you have $100,000 saved and we say it's a reasonable to strip off 5% of that $100,000, that's $5,000 a year. And all of a sudden you want $10,000 out because you need to. And that's fine. Well, now you're down to $90,000. Well, $90,000 times five, $4,500.
Just got to.
Pay cut.
Yeah, pay cut.
But, you know,
and you depleted your principal.
Well, so, you know, then, well, they take out another $10,000 a few days later, you know, years later. So, you know, if the account hasn't appreciated, you're maybe down to 80. And for some people's thought process, they're afraid and they're putting money in a money market. Well, they're not earning 5%. They're in a CD. They're not earning 5%. They're depleting what they've got. So, you know, part of that budgeting process is what is it going to need to take to retire, first of all? But then once you're there, you still need a budget, unless you have some doggone much money. It doesn't really matter.
But which there are people that do that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. But, you know, the most important thing is keeping track of those expenses and just not doing it once a year. It's doing it, you know, maybe to start off, if you're brand new to this, you do it once a week. You sit down with your spouse, you track them, and then after a month or two of that doing weekly, you move to a monthly sit-down meeting where you just track expenses. And then, but it allows you to work towards goals, allows people, you know, things they may have forgot. Oh, I forgot I spend that each week. You know, and all of a sudden you're realizing where this money's going, and it can add up in a hurry. There's some interesting statistics out there, Jack. You know, 39% of people out there prepare written or computerized budgets. That's more than what I even thought there would be.
Yeah, I think it's a big number.
Yeah.
I think it's a big number. You know, the most successful people we have getting to retirement have planned 5 years before they say they officially retire. That means we're running financial plans, we're modeling, we're doing cash flow analysis, we're looking at their budget, we're running, you know, you're going to get 6% growth in retirement or 4% or 8%, whatever that number might be. Eight's high, of course. What's the cash flow going to look like? What happens if you have, you know, you have the emergency fund? And what we're trying to do now is we're trying to build up that emergency fund before you actually retire. Because lots of people, they retire, it's like, well, man, we're not going to get a Social Security check for a while. We're not going to get that pension for a while. And they have no emergency fund when they retire. That's the biggest mistake they make is building up that emergency fund before they retire. Because out of the gate, if you don't have it figured out, that's when things blow up. And people want to take trips. I mean, the week after they retire, they want to go to Florida. They want to take that cruise. And they want to blow a lot of money out of the gate.
Well, early on in retirement is when you spend the most money.
Absolutely.
In the earlier years.
Yeah.
And as you get older, you do less traveling and less mobility, and you spend less. But, you know, for those that are out there listening that are either nearing retirement or in retirement, call in. Tell us what you've done for budgeting, whether you haven't. I mean, that's okay, too. I mean, Some people just don't. But what are some unique things maybe that you've done from a budgeting standpoint to help you out? 395-1450 is the number here. Lines are open. Jack, you know, other things that help people with, you know, creating a budget, if you use an accountant or certified financial planner, people like this that have these people as helping them out, you know, that's important. It is very important to have people that can look at things objectively and help you through this.
Yeah. Some of those things, you know, that automatically sometimes cause you financial problems. So, you know, so some people automate stuff. And when you automate stuff, sometimes these bills show up that you just kind of forget about. And, you know, it could be you're renewing your professional level stuff. You know, there could be organizations you belong to automatically renew your membership through your credit card. So some of those are, you know, things that you need to think about, you know, and you have to review your charitable giving once you retire. You know, a lot of people give a lot of money, which is really great, but you have to
adjust that.
You have to adjust that. Yeah.
Claire, do we have a caller? Hey. Oh, we'll have to see if we have a caller. Good morning. You're on the air with WHTC Money Matters.
Good morning, guys. Listener friend Steve here.
Hey, Steve. I haven't heard from you in a long time.
Man,
what's going on?
Man, Steve, you've been on sabbatical.
Yes, sir. One thing I wanted to mention about pensions that I discovered along the way with Union Pension, when I got in touch with them when I became disabled, they said, hold on, wait a second. I told them I was applying for Social Security. They said, we want to wait right now because if you get Social Security, you get in touch with us, and we will give you your full pension amount rather than taking a percentage earlier.
Oh, wow.
So, which works out good. You always want to check into that.
That's great.
The company pension, I took that early, but I had a choice. They said, well, you can take a lump sum, which I did. They paid me until the age of 72, whatever, which was okay. But then I thought to ask them if what they were going to pay me was what they call qualified funds. And so I took the lump sum and no taxes because I put it right into a IRA CD. So there was no taxes on that. So that money is still sitting there. But as far as budgets go, myself, I have a notebook right here. Been keeping it for the last number of years. I write down every single day what I spend. And every couple of days, I tally up a balance of what I have left that I want to spend for the month. So I keep track of it that way.
That's great. Yeah. That's awesome. You know what your income coming in, you know what your expenses are, and that way you know at the by the end of the month where everything went and what you may have left over. Now, does some of that money, sometimes if you have a money for, let's say, for going out to eat and you don't spend as much but you spend more in another area, you kind of shift some of that money where it needs to be. Is that correct?
Sure. I can take a look at it, go back and say, well, did I spend too much money here or there in the last month or 2 months? And I can always alter my behavior based upon that and say, well, you know, maybe I ought to cut back a little bit here and maybe I need to spend a little bit more here, that sort of thing. But I always pretty much know exactly where I'm at on any given day.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's a good report, Steve.
Thank you very much.
Stay after. Thanks for calling in. Yeah.
No, that's good to hear. I mean, people that stick to a budget, you know, budgets are there to give you numbers. They're not going to be exact each month, but it does give you guidance of where money is being spent, where it needs to be adjusted from month to month, because you're going to have those what ifs. The water heater goes out, or you need the car, you know, transmission fixed. Those are things that come up that you sometimes, you know, need to shift some money around in that budget.
Let's go back to charitable giving here a second. This is an important issue for retirees, and some people get it. Our customers get it, but some people don't get this, is if you have highly appreciated stock, and the people who bought stock in the 50s and 60s, you know what? They still have it. And one thing that we want you to think about doing is no longer putting cash in the collection plan. We're talking about, you know, sizable amounts. We're not talking about, you know, if you put $5 in a collection plate, it doesn't really matter. But if you're the person putting in 50 or 40 and it adds up, you know, 40 times, you know, 50, that's a large amount of money, couple grand. We would like you to think about donating, instead of the cash you put in, donating highly appreciated stock. So you're not going to pay tax on it. So, you know, we want people to think about that for giving. The next thing is, you know, rethink your cell phone bill. Lots of times when you retire, you know, it's your person is, we just kind of lost power, Claire.
Yep. Oh, we're good.
Okay. So, you know, what we want to do is rethink, do you really need all the features of your cell phone? Did your company pick up your cell phone? That's one that could be different. Is you need to make sure that, you know, if your company was picking it up, that could be another $100 a month, maybe $40 a month that you didn't think about in your budget when you retire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my son works for a large company. He gets his cell phone picked up. He gets his truck picked up. He gets his gas picked up. You know, it's just one of those that, you know, you need to rethink it when you retire. And lots of people today have cell phones picked up.
Oh, they do. And, you know, a lot of times when you work into retirement, you know, one thing that we did with my parents, we had them come on board as part of our family plan. And that way, part of the family plan, we were able to reduce their phone bill, and they pay us so much a month. But as a family, it works out great.
Yeah.
And those are just things. Hey, we're going to talk more after a short break here. Listeners, you're listening to WHTC Money Matters. We're talking about budgeting tips for retirees, and we'll be right back. Hey, welcome back, listeners. This is WHTC Money Matters. Hey, we're talking about today budget tips for retirees, but I think it's just good budget tips for everyone.
Well, one is when you retire, reevaluate your insurance needs. I mean, people should, one, first of all, do that every year. You know, you and I do that, Carrie. We go to the insurance, we look at that policy, and, you know, and we look at our insurance, we look at the house insurance. And lots of times I have a hard time getting people to call me back. I go, you know, you need to review this. Where am I at? What do I need to take a look at? Why aren't you calling me every year to say, let's just take a quick look. Do it over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that. Well, they do not do that.
And when you review insurance, that's life insurance, car insurance, house insurance, all your insurances you need to review. And a good time to review, that's usually the renewal.
Well, you know, we see a lot of people, Carrie, who have whole life policies out there, and these are policies that you need to have be reevaluated, and they have cash value to them. And what you need to know is you need to do something relatively soon with some of these policies, because if you have them for a long time, that cash value goes away because cost of insurance goes up over the length of the policy. Not all the time.
No.
But you need to do an in-force illustration to say, in-force illustration. So if you have a whole life policy, that's what you need to do. And retirees don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't know about it.
Well, they just kind of figure it's one of those things that out of sight, out of mind is what happens. And, you know, that same rule applies to a lot of times we have automatic renewal of memberships for a magazine, for, you know, book clubs or civic organizations. And if you're not going to these things or using these services, you know, you need to stop those automatic payments, because those automatic payments are the ones that just keep going on and on and on. But that's another way that you can look at your budget and maybe find some money that you don't need to spend.
Also, planning that retirement, you know, it's one of those things that only 43% of the people use a long-term financial plan, which we do, or use a person to help them, which is really good. Actually, it goes down to 35% using your accountant, which is really good. And you need to get all these people involved and get your attorney involved. So when you're going to retire, you know, you want to make sure. And some of the biggest errors people make is, Carrie, they don't have a durable power of attorney, which says somebody else has the right to buy, sell, lease, negotiate, et cetera, on my behalf if I'm unable or unwilling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you need to have that document in place. You know, we have an attorney in our office that can help you with that. Mary Jo Borman, give her a call. It's just these simple documents, health care directive, you need to have.
Absolutely. So those, you know, will, power of attorney for finances, power of attorney for health care. You know, as we get towards the end of our show here, just some things to kind of think about and wrap up. And we want to leave some thoughts with our listeners, you know, with budgeting, and know where you stand and look to the future and set some goals that you want to accomplish, and then work that into the budget. It's just so important that if you have a goal, let's say going to Alaska, you know, you want to work that into the budget, you want to save for that. Those are things that's important sitting down on a regular basis. You know, create a spending plan that fits your resources and objectives, or another way to put it, that fits your income and expenses.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big one. You know, I can't tell you how many people this year, Carrie, have set up for their grandchildren automatic payments into their retirement accounts, because I say, look, we'll put this money over here. It's going to generate 6% per month automatically every month. And we're going to need to give that to the grandkids. And I always insist on not just giving it to them. I'm not in favor of that. Put that away for their Roth IRA, their non-qualified IRA or non-deductible IRA, I should say. And, you know, those are some of the things that people need to think about. Because once you get to a certain age, you know, we're not talking about people who need to reduce their budget. We're talking about people who, how they need to not reduce their actual resources. But they can start giving money away. Be philanthropic to your kids. Pass it forward. You know, they have a big craze of, you know, the ALS, you know, challenging. You know, I challenge our listeners out there, think about what you're doing for the next generation, two generations, three generations. And part of that's coming down to the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that's coming down to the budget.
Oh, it is. And, you know, you remember, it's good to have a plan, but also remember, plans change. You need to be flexibility is one thing about a plan. And as our listener that called in a little earlier, you know, sometimes he spends more in one area, not in another. You know, there's always, you need to build flexibility into that plan.
Yeah, and going back to, you know, I talk about grandparents, is we need to think about passing forward in the right manner, passing forward saving tips, passing forward retirement tips, not passing forward subsidizing your kid's lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in favor of that.
No, I agree. I mean, I like, you know, I'm reading notes here as for our listeners. I like the guy who invented the polio vaccine. He said, good parents are those that create roots and give their kids wings. So roots to know where home is and wings to fly off and practice what you taught them.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's I tell everybody, you know, our kids were at 18. They were gone. I mean, it's five kids.
Well, you kicked them out of the house.
Well, no. They had jobs all of them at 14, but they're tough kids. They're all professionals, but, you know, they learn what it's like early to do things right. And that's the most important, is you're going to be a retiree, making sure that you do things right in retirement. It's just so important, but planting that seed with your kids, your grandkids, try to influence their life in a positive way. And try to influence your budget in a positive way. Those people who review their numbers, look at stuff on a regular basis, don't have problems. And if they do, they attack them. I mean, if you're not making enough money, you need to get after it and have somebody help them.
Well, I think you said an important thing. They just don't look at the problem or the situation. They figure out a solution. They figure out how they're going to go and do it and take action. You have to take action.
That's the biggest part is, you know, are you proactive in what you're doing? You need to be proactive in a lot of stuff.
Well, hey, we've wrapped up this show, and next week, Jack, we're going to be talking about identity theft and senior scams that are out there, and it's going to be the Labor Day weekend, so we will not be live. It'll be a pre-recorded show.
Well, we've already done that pre-recording.
Yeah, and it's a good show because we have read a lot of things. We'll give you advice, tips, things what to look out for, some things that are happening out there as far as scams. Some are old scams. Some are new scams.
Identity theft.
Yep. And identity is a big thing that you just need to be careful of. So, listeners, thanks for listening. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey. See you next weekend.
WHTC Money Matters with Jack Godfrey and Kerry Cooley from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group of Zeeland. Join us next week for WHTC Money Matters on 1450 WHTC, Holland's news leader. No one